Good morning. Merry Christmas to you, and for those online, Merry Christmas to you as well. Welcome, everybody. If you're watching this later, Merry Christmas to you as well. I really don't have any announcements except to say that next Sunday our worship service will again be at 10:30 in the morning. And so I invite you now to join me. All right, so I was just asked to announce to the TTG group that we will be starting reading the book of Leviticus in the 1st of January. Anybody else? All right, thank you. So I want to invite you to join me in the call to worship. Rejoice and happy Christmas to everyone. Christ our Savior is born.
God's light is poured into the world.
Oh, come, let us celebrate this wonderful gift.
Let us praise God with shouts of joy and sing.
So grace to you today and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ through the powerful presence and working of God, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us sing together. Please be seated. I want to invite Kamei to come forward to do the reading for the lighting of the candles this morning.
Merry Christmas, everybody. We give thanks for the light of hope, unrelenting and inexplicable.
Our hope in Christ shines on.
We give thanks the light of peace, strong and unafraid.
The peace of Christ lights our way.
The We give thanks to the for the light of joy, persistence, a persistent and unpredictable.
The joy of Christ brightens our lives.
We give thanks for the light of love, hot and holy.
The love of Christ comforts and challenges.
Now let us light the Christ candle as we celebrate the birth of Jesus. It is a symbol of the light of Christ, which cannot be held back by distance, which shines in each one of us, no matter where we are.
Thank you, God, for your light in this world through Jesus Christ.
The light shines in the darkness.
Please be seated. We now have the opportunity to come to God with our shortcomings, to ask His forgiveness, trusting in His mercy that when we come to Him in the name of Jesus, He forgives us. So please pray with me in unison our prayer of confession. Father in heaven, we confess that we never knew You had come down. We confess that we were in the dark as to Your light among us. Though the world was created through Your word, we could not grasp the reality that He had entered into our neighborhood and taken up residence. We could not receive Him whom we did not see. In all His humility, in His appearance in unexpected places, we were blind. We have only ourselves to blame for not opening our eyes of faith and ears of understanding. May You forgive us, and once again on this nativity of Christ's birth, proclaim the good news of Your comfort and redemption to us, so that all the ends of the earth may see the salvation of our God. Amen. God has shown us undeserved grace by coming to save all people. He gave Himself to rescue us from everything evil. So hear these words of Jesus, who said, "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." So peace be with you today.
And also with you.
I invite you to extend the sign of God's peace to each other. We invite you to sing with us. Thank you. Today our scripture reading is from the book of Titus in the New Testament, and we will be reading from chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. But before we do that, let us bow our heads and let us pray together. Merciful God, on this beautiful day, as we remember and celebrate the birth of your Son, we have so much to be grateful for. Thank you for Christians, people around the world celebrating the birth of the Savior. Thank you for the opportunity to be with one another on this special day and in your presence. Thank you for forgiveness of sins. Thank you for music and the beauty of it. Thank you for your word. I pray that your word will encourage us this morning and challenge us. And so will you prepare our hearts and our minds to be open to hear the message and to live it out in the name of Jesus. Amen. So Titus chapter 2 verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety and worldly passions, and in the present age to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly, while we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. He it is who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds. Declare these things, exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one look down on you. This is the word of God. So, how was Christmas Eve? Was it good? Now, do you open your presents on Christmas Eve, or do you open them on Christmas Day? Did you open them this morning? Yeah, we have a tradition of opening it on Christmas Eve. I think it's more the European way, but I think most Americans will open it on Christmas Day. But whether you opened presents last night or this morning, I mean, don't you just love to watch young children, right, tear open those mysterious packages with all the excitement? So I think it's fairly easy to shop for our kids. We have a good idea of what the special toy or gift is for them. I mean, Santa kind of like knows that things will go well, so as long as socks and underwear and pajamas and grandma's knitting are kept to a minimum. But shopping for adults, well, that's a bit of a different story. It's a little more difficult and it's more challenging. And sometimes we can have problems with that, particularly when it comes to sending the right message to the recipient. Because what you buy for another adult does send a kind of message, doesn't it? So sometimes it's a message of love because you meticulously search for exactly the right gift that you know will bring a smile to the face of your loved one. Sometimes, though, it's a message of last-minute desperation. Sometimes it's even a message of distaste. A way of saying, you know what, I don't care enough about you to actually prepare and plan ahead of time. Instead, I will wait until the last minute and get you something you'll probably don't like. So these are the kind of gifts that become the worst gifts every year. When you open them, you kind of stare at the giver, you know, blankly, because in your mind you're saying, I mean, what were you thinking? What possibly could have entered your mind when you purchased this gift for me? Some of these gifts are so bad, they're thoughtless, and it's clear that the giver didn't even purchase it at all. So if gifts are kind of like a relational currency, if it somehow indicates how we really feel about one another, then a bad gift says, well, you know what, I care enough to send you the very least. But let me give you some examples. There's something wrong with you but I won't say it directly, gift, right? You're a teenager and your aunt gives you a box of Acne soap for Christmas. So it's like saying, I love you, but I can't stand to look at your face, right? There's the, I bought me this gift, excuse me, I bought me this gift. When you buy your wife a waffle iron for Christmas, because it's really a way of saying, honey, now I want you to go make me some waffles. Aren't you excited about that? Then there's the worthless novelty gift. You're in that sketchy store in the mall by the bargain bin, and you think, yeah, she'll really get a kick out of this. No, she won't, right? And then there's the cheapskate gift, which is a close relative. It's the free gift that came with the actual gift you purchased for someone else, right? Or it's something you've received and now you re-gift it to someone else. Something you once got and you didn't like it and now you've decided to transfer it to someone else. But I guess I can go on, but you get the point. And I'm sure you can all think of a gift you've received that you would categorize as the worst gift ever. As a matter of fact, I asked this question at our Advent dinner this year. What is the worst gift you've ever received? And I asked this question in church one Christmas Eve, and someone said, the worst gift I ever received was a new toilet seat. Okay? She got it from her boyfriend. I mean, what's the message? What's the message wrapped up in that gift? I don't know. So, you see, we do send a particular message with the gifts we give, for good or for bad. So Christmas is a powerful reminder that there's one gift whose message is consistent every year and for every person. God gave us a gift, and it's the best gift ever. And it sends the greatest message ever. So what's his gift to us? Here's the gift. God sent Jesus into our world. And in so doing, he sent a strong message about divine love and grace. So it says in verse 11 of our reading, for the grace of God has appeared. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all. God's grace that can save anyone has come. It has come into the world in the form of Jesus Christ. You see, in the Greek, there was no word for grace. So the Apostle Paul, who wrote this letter to Titus, adopted the Greek word for gift, charis. So grace has the same meaning as gift in the Greek language. Grace is the gift of God, and it appeared with the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. I think it's difficult to explain exactly what grace is. We use the word a lot, but how would you explain it to someone else? If someone were to ask you, you know, you talk a lot about grace. What is grace? What would you say? So in Christian terms, grace can be defined as God's favor towards the unworthy, or God's benevolence on the undeserving. Grace is God reaching downward to people who are in rebellion against him. Grace is unconditional love toward a person who does not deserve it. It's mercy, not merit. Or as someone once said, grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. So what it means is we don't have to pay for our sins, even though we are supposed to do, because Jesus paid for our sins. God's grace, God's gift to us. And this is no ordinary gift. It's not like the ones we like to give at Christmas. I mean, think about it. The presence of bad gifts under the tree indicates something. It somehow says we tend to give gifts based on the apparent worth of the recipient. If you're not crazy about your daughter's fiancé or boyfriend, then you think, well, he might get a $20 gift card from Walmart, right, if he's lucky. On the other hand, we tend to give our best gifts to those we love the most and esteem the most. So listen, don't you think, or do you think that you're worthy of God's gift to you in Jesus? Do you think you qualify for that gift? Is that something you would say you deserve? No. You're not worthy, and I'm not worthy. Why? Because we're all sinners. We have no room to boast about our standing before God. There's no way to brag about our accomplishments before God. So what we really deserve is the lousiest gift of all. As a matter of fact, we don't even deserve a gift at all. And yet the Bible says this in Romans 5. But God shows his great love for us in this way. Christ died for us while we were still sinners. You see, what the Apostle Paul is saying is that God gave the world a gift that was precious beyond measure, even when we don't deserve it. And he offers his grace in this extravagant way to all. To everyone, regardless of the worthiness of the recipient. We deserve the lousiest of gifts, if any at all, and yet God gives us only the very best. God gives us Jesus, and he did it while we were still sinners. In other words, God gives God to the world. It's a gift to everyone. God offers you his forgiveness and salvation in Jesus Christ. And the only thing you need to do is to unwrap the gift and to receive it. So how do you do that? How do you receive it, and what does it do for you? It's not only the most lavish of gifts, it's also a gift that requires some practical use in order to be fully realized. So, well, think about it this way. What do we do at Christmas? Most of the time we give gifts and we don't expect anything back necessarily. You give a gift with no real expectation of reciprocation, do you? I mean, you buy your child a gift that he or she has been wanting forever, but you don't expect of them to have a valuable gift or package under the tree for you, especially when they are still small. You might give a lousy or lazy gift out of some sense of obligation to someone else, but you don't really hope for anything in return, do you? In the Roman world, however, when you gave someone a gift, there was always an expectation of reciprocity, especially between a patron and his or her client. If you get a gift from someone, you couldn't just write a simple thank you. That was simply not enough. You needed to respond with a gift of your own. And so God's gift of grace really works the same way. You receive it and then you respond. When Paul talks about the gift, he always talks about it in terms of a response. So here's how you receive it. It says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. So how do you unwrap God's gift of salvation? You realize that it's a gift from start to finish. It's not something you can work for. It's not something you can pay for. It's not something you can earn by trying and trying to be good enough. Saving us is all God's idea, and it's all his work. So by grace we are saved through faith. faith, all you do is you trust Him enough to let Him do it. Let Him save you by putting your faith in His Son, Jesus. And that's how you unwrap and receive God's gift of grace in Jesus. You believe in Him as your Lord and Savior. But then, what is your response to God's saving grace? We need to look at verse 10 of this passage as well. And it goes on to say, for we are what He has made us, created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. We are saved by grace through faith for good works. So our response is to live the way God has always wanted us to live. And that's why He sent Christ to make us what we are. So the gift of grace in the life of Jesus requires the response of giving our lives for His purposes. Living out the gift of grace in our own lives by being the people God calls us to be. Our response is to take on a God-filled, God-honoring life. So if you think about the gifts you received this Christmas, hopefully you've opened them already. Maybe there were some clunkers or some lousy gifts in the mix. I don't know. Maybe you did receive the worst gift ever this year. Maybe it's something you can laugh about, you know, for many years. Remember that year when I got a toilet seat for Christmas? Most of those clunkers will be consigned to the junk drawer and then find their way into maybe a donation pile somewhere, right? And there, some other lazy or passive-aggressive person will stumble across them and buy them for cheap and give them to some other unsuspecting victim next Christmas. God's gift of grace, however, is different. It's a gift that God exquisitely designed to send the right message to those who unwrap it and receive it. God's gift sends you the message that you are valued and that you are loved. That God's desire is to save you from your sin. That you are incredibly worthy in God's eyes. And we respond to this fabulous gift by offering our lives in service. And so when we consider the magnitude of God's saving gift to us in Jesus Christ, let us respond with joy. Amen. Let us pray. Lord our God, thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your gift, the best gift ever. Thank You for forgiveness, that by simply putting our trust in Your Son Jesus, we receive that new life. Now help us to respond to that awesome gift by the way we are, by what we do and how we live. May You be honored and may You be blessed through our lives. Thank You for everyone here today and those online. I lift them up before You and we thank You for God's grace, Your gift to us. In Jesus Christ. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit come upon all of you and be with you now and forevermore. Merry Christmas. Amen.